Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, May 2nd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
I'm trying to get my voice back.
Broadcasting from the pollen capital of the world.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. But the more you and I talked prior to the program, the more my voice was going. So let me get right to the gold and silver markets so you can take it away. Gold today. We did, early morning trade. First thing I do when I wake up is I turn on all the financial news programs and I check out gold, silver market, world markets, and blah, blah, blah. It's been a habit for 20 years. Gold was up strong. It was up over 1304. We had a high. And then throughout the day, they just kind of whacked it, dipped down below 1290, clawed back a little bit. And in the New York spot price, we're looking down 230 right now at 1291. We saw the same thing with silver. Had a nice bump up over 1805. Closed currently in New York spot 1760. Down 0.32. Platinum managed to be up for $2 at 1,084. And palladium was down 4 at 622. A lot of pressure on the dollar earlier in the day. It did come back a little bit. 92.66, down 0.36. And of course, crude oil was down 1.07 at 44.85. So with all these numbers, it's set up. Paper markets had a nice Monday. It was up 117 points, the Dow. 17,891. The NASDAQ was up 42, 48.17. And the S&P up 16 at 2,081. 10-year yield, 1.86. And the euro, 115 on the euro. You know, it's the first time it hit 115, I believe, since August. And, of course, that was just a natural, with the Dow, with the dollar being down. Of course, the euro was higher. 115 for the euro, up 0.66. There you go, Al.
Well, I think the big story is, again, the U.S. dollar index. All right. I think this correlates to the rise in the price of gold. And I think it's more evidence. In proof, but it's more evidence I've speculated for a couple of weeks now that they've just decided they're not going to deflate the dollar on the U.S. dollar index anymore. They're going to cause inflation, and that's exactly what they seem to be doing. We were U.S. dollar index wasn't all that long ago, a few months. It was up pushing 100, and now it's down in the 92 range. That's a significant drop, and it doesn't seem to be ending. It indicates that, at least on the international arena, the dollar is going to continue to inflate. And if it does, talked about this on the program, we have an adversarial relationship between the dollar and the other half dozen foreign fiat currencies that make up the dollar index. They sit at opposite ends of the teeter-totter. And when the dollar goes up, the other currencies tend to go down. When the other currencies go up, the dollar tends to go down. And the point here is every country seems that has embraced a fiat currency, and that's basically all of them, they all seem to think that the way to inflate, to stimulate their economy is by means of inflation. Everybody wants to inflate. But with the dollar index, U.S. dollar index, if the dollar inflates, the other six foreign currencies have to deflate, or at least on average deflate. If the dollar deflates, they inflate. My point is, they want inflation for themselves to stimulate particularly the Japanese and European economies. And if they get it, the dollar goes down. I believe that for the 18 months or so while we saw significant deflation in the value of the dollar, I suspect it was a voluntary act by the government of the United States and or the Federal Reserve, where they said, we will take the hit. All right, we will accept the deflation in order to help inflate the Japanese currency and the euro, and in theory thereby help to stimulate the European economy and the Japanese economy. They did it for 18 months. It didn't accomplish much. And somebody in Washington, I suspect, have no evidence, just suspicion, but somebody in Washington just said, all right, enough of that. So too bad for them. We're going to inflate. Now we're going to inflate the dollar. And if Japan goes down, they go down. Europe goes down, they go down. Can I prove any of it? No, it's just speculation, but I think the important point is that U.S. dollar index is adversarial. The dollar is on one side, six foreign currencies are on the other side. When one goes up, when one end of the teeter-totter goes up, the other end has to go down. And I think that's what we've been watching. And it does not bode well. If the dollar, U.S. dollar index is down to 92.64 right now, down in the 92 range, that's not good news for Japan. That's not good news for Europe. That's going to tend to push them into deflation, which will tend to defeat any attempts to stimulate the European economy and or the Japanese economy. So they can't be pleased about this, and we'll see.
Well,
maybe tomorrow it's going to turn around.
Well,
the U.S. dollar index is going to go up, and maybe 94, 96, 98, who knows where it's going to go. But the trend to me looks like they're going to take it down further, and if they do, price of gold, it's just another fundamental reason why the price of gold is going up.
You know, earnings seasons is pretty much over, and these corporate earnings, these multinational corporations, all their earnings stank. And, you know, one part of that is because of the higher dollar, is the currency exchange rate and everything. So, you know, they, a lot of the numbers were really bad. And today you had the Obama administration coming out. Actually, it was the Treasury that came out and said, you have China, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and Germany. They're all manipulating their currencies, which is threatening the U.S. and other global economies. Now, you know, the department, the U.S. Treasury Department and the Obama administration says, you boys better stop that, or, you know, maybe we're going to have to put on some sort of sanctions and so forth. So you guys quit manipulating your currencies and so forth. And you're right, Alan, to some degree, this is just, you know, it's just theatrics. You know, they're all doing what they do to keep these economies going, to keep the whole system really from collapsing, because they're all under
motive.
Pardon?
Is their motive to prevent the economies from collapsing, or is their motive right now to preserve fiat currency?
Well, it's one of the, to me, it's one of the same.
Well, you can look at it that way,
yeah,
but
it's one of the same.
You know, which comes first, chicken or the egg, and the rest of that sort of thing. I think their fundamental business is the problem is fiat currency, in my opinion.
Well, that's the root of evil.
That's what they're facing, but they won't admit it. It's because that's the source of the power for the New World Order. It's source of the power for the central banks. They don't want to admit fiat currency is a joke, or worse than a joke. It's like a suicide pill. And they don't want to admit that, because if they do, somebody's going to say, well, what the heck do we need the central banks for if all they can give us is fiat currency? And the banks don't want to admit that possibility. They don't even want to come close to considering. They'll do anything, including negative interest rates. It doesn't matter how stupid it is, anything other than admit that the problem is fiat currency, because that's their product. You know, they get out fiat currency, what are they going to do?
Well, you're right. And it is all about trade. I mean, if you bring in sort of a, you know, excuse or part of it is trade, and they do manipulate their currencies in order to manipulate the currency. That's what the fiat currencies have given these countries the ability to do, is to manipulate in order to, you know, adjust. So, you know,
not only the ability, but the need.
But started as the
need to manipulate.
Okay.
Right?
In order.
They're compelled. They're caught in this. And what does the manipulation do? Who comes out and says, well, we're going to go into deflation so the rest of you can have inflation? I think the United States did it for maybe 18 months here on the U.S. dollar index. But the truth of the matter is everybody is scrambling for more and more inflation, or at least they're trying to. And as they do that, inflation is going to destroy their currency. They keep on saying, my currency is worth less than your currency. The other guy says, oh, no, our currency is worth much less than
it's
your
all
currency.
About control,
and the third guy says, no, we've got the least valuable currency.
It's all about control.
They're crazy. They're crazy. They're trying to prove that is the inevitable consequence of fiat currency. You wind up with these idiotic hyperinflationary wars where all of the fiat currencies are trying to prove they are even less valuable than the others. It's crazy. You know, it's insane. And people look at it, oh, you know, they look at this as, well, you know, here's what the Federal Reserve is doing. Here's what the Bank of Japan is doing. Here's what the European Central Bank is doing, as if it were rational. It's not. It's crazy. It's self-destructive. It's like jumping off a 40-story building.
It is, but in the world that they've created, to some degree, it works. In the world, in their fiat world, they have been able to benefit. They have become more powerful. They've become more wealthy. Well, and that's what it was. The bottom line is they strip these nations. I mean, even the IMF in the same. The same Wall Street article comes out and says, well, you know, hey, we think China's currency is pegged just about right. You know, so they're not even saying China, is doing that much. They think it's pegged just about right. This is why I believe for world trade to continue, they're going to have to balance out these currencies some way to keep them from these huge degrees of fluctuation.
Yeah, but how do they do that? Because the problem is, you know, this is all aggravated by global free trade. If we were still minding our own business and we were mainly selling our products into the American market and buying in the American market, the inflation deflation issue would not be significant. Yeah. It's because we're trying to sell to Japan and Japan's trying to sell to us, and everybody's trying to sell to China and China's trying to sell to everyone else. As a result, we have to capture the advantage that's provided by inflation. We can sell our cars to China cheaper than China can sell its stuff to us if we inflate properly. But the whole thing means the dollar becomes worth less and less and less. And the commercials we have here during the break, 96-97% of the dollar's value has disappeared relative to gold.
And that's
inflation. That's what that is, and it is persistent policy, and it's been policy now for 40-some years, and maybe longer than that, but at least back to 1971. It's policy. They want inflation. And the net result, we're down to 95%. Then we've lost 95, then 96, 97. We're going to lose 98. You can bet on it. Then 99%, then down to where we're eventually you get to the point where the inflation destroys the fiat currency. It becomes worthless. It's like the stuff in Zimbabwe. You can play with decimal points and add zeros and rest this, and you can get away with it for a surprising amount of time. But eventually you have to, you see signs.
As long as everybody accepts it.
Well, as fast as they take $100 trillion from one guy, they got to sell it to some other idiot. They've got to trade it off to some other idiot, and it's got to move in just a matter of moments. But the net result, there were photographs of signs outside public restrooms in Zimbabwe that told people not to don't use the currency for toilet paper because it doesn't dissolve and it clogs up the sewers. That's where we're going. That's what's going to happen. That's what will ultimately happen to the fiat dollar. We're going to have signs on the public restrooms. Please don't use $100 bills for toilet paper because they clog up the sewers. That's where this is going. I don't know that it's good. I won't argue. I'm not arguing that it'll be there this year. Maybe a couple of years before we get to that point. I don't know. But this is competing. My dollar is more like toilet paper than your dollar. It's insane. And yet they're caught by the logic that flows from fiat currency. Once they embrace the fundamental premise that fiat currency, worthless pieces of paper, could substitute for gold or silver, and in a rational monetary system, once they accepted that premise, it inevitably leads us, the premise being irrational, it leads us ultimately to irrational conclusions and signs that tell us don't use the fiat currency for toilet paper because it clogs up the sewers. It's a... You know, you look at this, and it's a little like Shakespeare, what fools these mortals be, you know? I don't know how we got off on fiat currency. I can imagine it. There were some people who just said, you know, we can do it. It'll blow up, but by the time it does, we'll be dead and gone. Smart guys.
Or we'll be so wealthy.
Fiat currency in the 30s and the 40s and on up, finally up to the 70s. Smart guys.
You know what's interesting now?
Going to pay the price.
Do you know what's interesting is this is like a no-brainer. I mean, what is the one item in the whole world that benefits from a fiat currency? No, gold.
All right.
Gold.
Yeah, sure.
It's the one, and it's the easiest, the most simplest if you stay with the fundamentals of gold and silver as monetary metals, you cannot go wrong. But yet, and even the way mainstream and governments view gold, and they don't want their citizens, well, there's a few countries that want the citizens, but here in the States, they don't want you to own gold. That is the one thing that you should be scooping up with fists because it's so simple. And it's the only thing in this world of fiat currencies and of debt that will benefit from all of those.
Yeah, the debtors benefit from fiat currency because fiat currency destroys the debt. You're able to pay off your debt with cheaper and cheaper and
cheaper
dollars.
But when that debt defaults, gold will be the only item to be owned.
In terms of gold and to a lesser extent silver, there are the
gold and silver,
liquid forms of wealth that will serve you best during what may be some very difficult...
And yet gold and silver is one of the hardest sells for people to understand and to grasp, and yet it is the simplest.
Why is that? It's because people don't understand the nature of money. They don't understand anything about it other than how to count it. And yet the consequences of gold and silver, using that, the consequences to your politics, to your monetary system, to your standard of living, your prosperity, all of this, The consequences are enormous, and yet nobody gets it. All they see is, oh, I got 100, I got a 50, I got a 20, I got a 10. All they can see is the numbers. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Here's an article from the New York Times dealing with China. And the headline is, China blocks U.S. Navy flotilla's visit to Hong Kong. Chinese government on Thursday denied a Navy flotilla access to the port of Hong Kong. This is the latest sign of escalating tension between the United States and China. The rare refusal to allow aircraft carrier John C. Stennis and several other vessels accompanying it to visit the port comes 2 weeks after the Stennis hosted Defense Secretary Ashton B. Carter on a visit to the South China Sea, where the United States is challenging what it sees as excessive maritime claims by China. All right, first thing I just want to point out is they say the rare refusal to allow the aircraft carrier John C. Stennis, several other vessels accompanying it into Hong Kong. is evidence right there. This is an interesting headline. It said, what kind of headline? China blocks U.S. Navy's flotilla's visit to Hong Kong. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. We're on the verge of World War III. You know, because in fact, when they say the rare refusal to allow the aircraft carrier into Hong Kong, there's evidence that they've done it before. This isn't the first time. It may be rare, but it's not unprecedented, and it did not push us into World War III in the past, and presumably it's not going to do it this time either. They are explaining that on the John C. Stennis hosted Defense Secretary Carter's visit to the South China Sea, but the United States is challenging what it sees as excessive maritime claims by China. They're talking about these islands that China is creating in the South China Sea to give it air base and whatever else, a logistical supply point, a place to stock airplanes and ships and whatever. They're building that up to, it's giving China, creating a choke point that wasn't previously there. And China is going to be able to control a certain amount of sea traffic moving through the South China Seas, thanks to these islands. But who's responsible for what? China is trying to create the islands. The United States is trying to stop them from using the islands. China's blocking the Navy ships from visiting Hong Kong. I'm not sure who's going to be damaged by this. I don't know that this is much more than a gesture. But they explained during the trip, Carter criticized Chinese and said the United States would work against China with its allies in the region. The denial was the first time the Chinese government had refused to allow an American aircraft carrier into the port of Hong Kong since August 2014. All right, 2.5 years ago, basically. They did it 2.5 years ago. The world didn't come to an end. So it's one of these things where the reason I bring it to your attention is because we hear about rising tensions between China and the United States. And some people are saying, oh my gosh, we're going to have World War III. Nobody in their right mind wants World War III. Certainly not with nuclear missiles and nuclear bombs. And that includes China. I don't think anyone, you can talk, you know, we have electromagnetic pulse threats. They can detonate one nuclear device over the center of the United States at a relatively high altitude. I don't know what altitude, say 50,000 feet. And the electromagnetic pulse that flows out of that explosion, it's not going to knock down any buildings. All right? It's not going to kill anybody, but it will destroy everybody's computer and integrated circuits and their chips and so on. And, you know, where it goes from there, you know, God only knows. But, you know, there's been a report that North Korea has parked a couple of satellites right over the United States. They're parked there. They're there all the time, two of them. And the obvious threat and concern is that, oh my gosh, if North Korea has put a nuclear bomb in those satellites, they could detonate at any point. And the electromagnetic pulse, they don't need to drop a bomb right on your backyard. All they have to do is shut down all your electronics. You won't be able to pump gasoline out of the tanks over at the 7-Eleven. You won't be able to, your refrigerator might not work. Your automobile might not start. And your computers, they'll be history. And the net result is we would collapse for lack of electronic supplies and services and so on. But even North Korea is probably not dumb enough to do that, because what about the Poseidon submarines that are now out in, somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, cruising around underwater? they're not going to be put out of business by these electromagnetic pulse explosions over the center of the United States. And it would be almost astonishing if there wasn't some sort of a means of communicating with a submarine and said, the SOBs in North Korea detonated a nuclear device that emitted an electromagnetic pulse over the middle of the United States and basically wiped out all of our electrical or electronic circuits. They get that message to the Poseidon, and next thing you know, North Korea ceases to exist. And the point I'm trying to make is nobody in their right mind wants to start a nuclear exchange, because no matter how clever you think you are with an electromagnetic pulse, for example, oh, we'll get the jump on the United States or whoever. You can't stop every bit of our hardware. Right? Sooner or later, one of the submarines is going to launch some missiles, and other nations are going to cease to exist. They're not just going to have their electronics wiped out. They are going to be gone. Huh? No one wants to take this risk. And the point is that at least for now, I'm not denying that a World War III may be in our future, or at least something we call World War III. But if we're going to have a World War III, and the nations, the governments of the world, basically agree to it, all right, just they would never admit that in public. But they're, okay, you want to have a war? We'll have a war, but it's going to be confined to the Middle East. We're not going to bomb Moscow. You're not going to bomb Washington, D.C., we're going to fight it out over in the Middle East until we reach some sort of an agreement and we decide, you stop bombing us, we'll stop. Will you stop fighting us, we'll stop fighting you, and so on. World War III is not a high probability, but it's like playing Russian roulette. The flip side, it's like playing Russian roulette. There's only one bullet in the six chambers in that cylinder that you rotate, and so the odds are in your favor. But just in case something happens and we do have that World War III, and that one bullet lines up with the barrel and the firing pin on the revolver, you're going to have a very bad time. But my only point is, right now, New York Times is saying, "Oh, China blocks U.S. Navy flotilla's visit to Hong Kong." I think the only people that have been really hurt by that are the sailors, wanted to go in and buy some stuff, and probably the Hong Kong prostitutes. They were probably planning a trip to Hawaii on the money they'd be able to make from the sailors off the John C. Stennis, and now they're going to have to wait for some other military ship to visit Hong Kong. Anyway. It's one of those things, you look at them and you try to weigh how much problem are we really facing right now. Are we facing serious problems, or are we facing just annoyances? And it's just an annoyance, I think, that China's not letting the John C. Stennis aircraft carrier and the associated naval ships, not letting them into Hong Kong. It's like being, Dad won't let me use a car to go to Disney World, take my girlfriend to Disney World. It's an annoyance, but we'll live through it. Here's another one that might be a little more serious. Yeah, it is more serious. This is from ZeroHedge.com. And the headline is, Puerto Rico says will default Monday, that's today, begs Congress for help, or else crisis will get worse. As you may know, Puerto Rico is in debt, and it's been forced. It's insolvent, can't pay its debts. The debt runs something like $400 million, $440 million. When we go through this article, it'll give us a better idea. But I think the total debt, or at least the debt that's due today, is something in excess of $400 million. And they can't pay. They're going to default on the debt. I presume they already have, where there's going to be a default on the debt. And this is one of those things. This is something that could be a black swan event. This, in theory, it might be one of those little dominoes out there in the ocean that nobody thinks about very much. This one could trigger some trouble. It probably won't, but it could. And Governor Padilla from Puerto Rico, he says Puerto Rico won't pay the debt today. They had signed a moratorium bill on, Friday or Saturday, and the moratorium is a moratorium on paying the debts. Puerto Rico needs a deal with creditors and or Congress. Right? And what kind of deal are they looking for? They're looking for they want the creditors to say, oh, that's okay. If you can't pay the debt, you just write it off. Don't worry about a thing. All right? That's what they need. Same kind of deal that Greece wanted and to some extent received. Greece has been able so far to write off at least half of the debt it had and still can't pay the remaining half. But they want another deal to knock off another big chunk of however much money they still owe. Puerto Rico wants debt forgiveness, which is debt cancellation. Or they want Congress to bail them out. Now, they're calling on Paul Ryan and the U.S. Congress for help, and has even threatened. They've said the crisis will get worse if U.S. Congress doesn't help. Oh, my gosh. Maybe it is a domino. Maybe it is a black swan event. As Bloomberg reports, investors are finding little comfort in the Puerto Rico government development banks. That would be their central bank, essentially. And the Puerto Rico government development bank's efforts to strike a last-ditch agreement with creditors to soften the blow of a default this weekend. The bonds that mature on Monday, May 1st, or excuse me, I refer mature on Sunday, May 1st, have crashed to just 20 C. Now, they mean 20 cents. And this particular article, I think they mean 20%. It goes on and says, disastrously below the 36 cent recovery rate, the Commonwealth, proposed in March. They're using language that might be typical in England, might be typical in Puerto Rico, but they talk about 20C. I think they mean 20%, which means people who have bonds are selling them for 20% of what their face value is, Puerto Rican bonds. And this is below significantly, almost half of the 30% recovery rate the Commonwealth proposed in March. They proposed, a little over a month ago, they proposed, we'll give you 36 cents on the dollar. People didn't take it. Now, the same people who refused to sell their bonds to accept a 36% payoff on their bonds in March, they are now selling their bonds, apparently, for 20% of face value. It appears that investors aren't buying what Puerto Rico is selling and prefer to dump the bonds rather than hold out in hope of a deal. A default of the $422 million due on Monday, today, is virtually certain, Standard & Poor's Global Ratings said. No matter which route Puerto Rico takes, credit rating companies see a default as inevitable. Moody's Investors Service said last week that any non-payment, even if it's agreed to by creditors, constitutes a default in their eyes. Now, that's interesting because it didn't constitute a default with Greece. They said, well, yeah, Greece isn't paying its bill, but just the same, as long as the creditors are going along with the program, it's not a default. Now they've toughened up. But they're toughening up for Puerto Rico. Will they toughen up when the United States has to admit that it can't pay its debts? Will they also say that's a default? Or will they put another name on it and allow the government of the United States to continue functioning even though it's insolvent? We shall find out. Right now, we'll find out what our next batch of commercials say. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Melody and I were just talking a little more about Puerto Rico. If I understand correctly, you visited Puerto Rico on a vacation a few years ago. Is that true?
Yes, I did.
And you were talking about the difference in
wealth
in some parts and the extraordinary poverty in other parts.
Well, you know, Puerto Rico, like Cuba, you know, the first cruise ship went to Cuba. This weekend, you know, and they were, you had lots of reports about how, you know, all these wealthy people are being, you know, now going to tour Cuba, and, but yet pennies, if pennies on the dollar get filtered down to the people. And you saw the same thing really is what's happening to Puerto Rico. You have all these cruise lines, tons of tourists, tons of money being spent, and yet this country can't pay their debt. They can't pay, and the population, decreasing. They have their schools are closing down, and it's just like, where is all this? The wealth just is not filtering down. We went to other islands where the boat docks. You got all these beautiful shops and drinks and food for everybody. Then you take a little golf cart and you start driving around the island. And then you see the extreme poverty where people can't even get food and water. And I mean, and it's like this wealth, all this money. And it's just such a, the two extremes on the other end. And then to have Puerto Rico where they're defaulting, and it's just like, it's really, it's shocking.
Yeah, it's shocking because it's evidence that the country's been mismanaged, and not just in the sense that they can't pay their bills. Insofar as they've got that extraordinary wealth inequality, the wealth distribution inequality, insofar as they've got great poverty and significant wealth living side by side, it's evidence of something's wrong there. Somebody's being overpaid and somebody's being underpaid, and that's how it works. And it's happening. Just, it's institutionalized. It's not confined to Puerto Rico. It's the way of the world, including here in the United States.
Here in the United States was my next thought. Yeah. Maybe not to the same degree yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But they're here to strip everything out of this country.
Yeah, I understand.
And they've been successful so far.
I was
slowly and gradually.
I was in New York in the 90s. I was flown out to be on the Geraldo Rivera program. And when we left, the limousine that took us back to the airport drove through Rockefeller Center, and the energy was just electric. All right? The traffic, the energy, you could feel that system, that city moving like a dynamo right there. But as we continued to drive, going through Rockefeller Center and continued, and it was just a matter of blocks, and all of a sudden we were in some sort of, I mean, Rockefeller Center was just glittering with wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And just a few blocks beyond, we stumbled into, well, we drove through an area that was just almost extraordinary poverty. And I can remember it to this day. Again, this is 20 years ago, thereabouts. But this, we were in a completely different neighborhood, and I was, you know, you break down in that neighborhood, you better make friends fast, or you're going to be lucky to get out alive. You'd certainly be lucky to get out uninjured. You could just, the danger was manifest. And it was a question of going from great wealth to great danger and great poverty within just a matter of blocks. It wasn't like, you know, you've got some states that are impoverished and other states that are wealthy. No, this was just a matter of blocks. And I think it's a little bit similar. It's similar to what you're talking about with Puerto Rico, and you drive around and you go from great wealth to great poverty.
I mean, it isn't even on some of the other little islands where all these cruise ships and all this money. It isn't even. I mean, these people were living in shacks. They have animals walking around where you could. I mean, their ribs are bigger than, you know, their whole bodies. I mean, just. I mean, it's it reminds me of pictures that you would see of, what was it, Ethiopia of, you know, these. I mean, it was. It's
frightening, it's disturbing, but it's one of the things that people have
to... It's life, I get it, to some
degree.
Yeah,
it's not just... Yeah, it's life, and it could be the
life
that you and I are living,
yep.
That the people in the audience are living. We are not far removed from that. Worst case scenario. People talk about this on a regular basis. It seems like every pundit in the world is talking about the idea that we are close to some sort of an economic, at least decline, maybe a collapse. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But it's certainly possible. And when you look at it and you've seen something like the situation in Puerto Rico, there is nothing in this world that guarantees that can't happen here. We get into another greater depression in this country, which is possible. Huh? We get into that greater depression, and we are going to see, you're going to see animals in this country where their ribs are showing. For some reason, animals, how can an animal not find food, especially if it's an herbivore, you know, a cow, a horse, whatever. There's got to be grass for them. But we can see the same kind of, there's already evidence of the wealth inequality in this country, which is not conducive. I'm not arguing give handouts to the poor. I'm not arguing take money from the rich per se, but I am arguing somehow there has to be a more equitable distribution of wealth. We're wiping out the middle class, and as we do, a handful of people at the top are going to get rich, and the majority of the people are going to wind up at the lower end of the spectrum. They're going to be poor, and we're going to see something in this country comparable to what you saw in Puerto Rico or what I saw in New York. Point, what's the lesson in all of this? It is possible. However unlikely, it is possible that we can see that sort of economic reality in this country. It it almost seems impossible we'll be able to avoid that kind of economic reality given the magnitude of the national debt. Sooner or later, this is going to bite us. Sooner or later, the fiat currency is going to come home to roost, and people are going to be shocked to discover those pieces of paper are worthless. And if and when that happens, it's going to be a terrible time in this country, which is one of the reasons why we harp on this program about you need to prepare yourself. You know, this is like, again, the Russian roulette thing. There's a chance in six. One bullet, and there's six chambers in the cylinder on the revolver. There's one bullet in the six chambers. Five chambers are empty. Spin the revolving part of the spin the cylinder, and odds are you won't pull the trigger. Odds are you'll be okay. But if you're not, if you're going to play this game of Russian roulette, and that's what we're playing here right now to some extent, if you're going to play that game, you better get yourself a helmet to wear on the side of your head to protect yourself. When you pull the trigger, one of these days you might get the bullet. You need that helmet, a good, strong, powerful helmet. You got to take care of yourself because even if the odds are relatively low that we're going to slide into worst case scenario, they are not so low that they aren't that it's not a reasonable consideration. So what we're talking about, you know, get yourself some, you know, food, water, guns, bullets, toilet paper, whatever you think you'll need for an emergency, and store your wealth in some sort, in a form, a tangible form, other than digital dollars or fiat dollars. Stored in a tangible form that people recognize, they understand, they'll accept. It's liquid. Right? And therefore, we're talking about gold or silver.
And you know,
you're going to need gold, if you're going to need money in the event of a collapse, while everybody else is perhaps in maybe starving.
In 21 years.
It's a shameful thing. It's a terrible thing that we might come to that where it's going to be a situation where, look, you're going to get your gold and you're going to hang on to it to keep yourself and your family alive. And other people who don't have it, they're going to want to steal it. They're going to want to do a bunch of things, but they are going to be desperate and in big trouble because they don't have any gold. You have a chance. If you've got some, you're going to have a chance. Got gold, got silver, got enough of it, you'll have a chance. Not an easy time of it, but a chance. Don't have it, you're going to be in very difficult circumstances, and the implication is get it now, get it while you can. Sit tight, hang on to it. It's, you know, the way things are going, at least for the first 4 months of this year, and that's not enough to rely on, but it certainly is enough to speculate that gold has finally turned the corner and gold is going back up at this point in time. And if that's true, even if we're not coming into a difficult economic time, a greater depression, even if that's not happening, they get around it. Not going to happen. Not, you know, they find a way to evade it, avoid it, and we live happily ever after. That gold is your insurance policy just in case. And on top of which, it's even a good investment because odds are the price of gold is going to go up no matter whether we crash and burn or whether we even start to advance back into prosperity. Price of gold will almost certainly continue to rise, which means this is almost a no-lose investment. It might save you if things get really bad. It might enrich you if things go back and start to become prosperous. Either way, you can win with this stuff, and you need to think about that. Just because we can't guarantee that the problems that Melody observed in Puerto Rico, you can't guarantee they're not going to happen in this country. Certainly not if we go into a greater depression. We already see signs of it. I mean, there's parts of Dallas that are so populated by Mexican immigrants and illegal aliens. They are so populated right now, it's like a third world country. you know, what's going to happen? We see the signs. They're there. They're all around us. Open your eyes. Open your ears. You've got ears to hear and eyes to see. Some of this stuff is obvious, and it's not just a question of trying to make a sales pitch or present an infomercial or something like that. This is real life. And you folks ought to be paying attention and doing what you can to prepare yourself for what may be a very difficult time. Oh,
and you know what, Al? I hear all the time about, the COMEX is going to default. It's like, you know what, folks? The COMEX defaulting is the least of your worries. That's just an added bonus to the pricing of things.
Yes.
And that's why, yes, it's boring. Fundamentals are boring, but fundamentals are the truth. Fundamentals you can depend on if you research the true fundamentals. That's why I never talk much about the COMEX defaulting and so forth. Because to me, that's not a fundamental of why you own gold and silver. It's an exciting thing for these writers to talk about. Kind of gets you, you know, an understanding that, you know, possible there's shortages of stuff. And, of course, we all know when there's shortages of things, you know, the price will move up. The prices are going to move up with gold and silver, regardless of whether the COMEX defaults or not. And I'm just using that as an example. There's 10 other examples that I could bring on that I hear the stories of this is going to happen today and tomorrow. And that's why we stick firm with the fundamentals and we don't change, because those fundamentals were created by the fiat currency by taking us off the gold standard so many years ago. And by doing that, we can predict the future. We know exactly what the future holds for us. We just don't know the time, the when. Is it today, tomorrow, or next year? So that's why it's important to, you know, focus on what you need to do and plan and prepare.
All right, folks, we're out of time. Melody and I will be back on Tuesday. Hope you'll tune in.
Is that tomorrow, Al?
Let me check my calendar. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
right.
That comes right after Monday, doesn't it?
Yeah, usually.
Okay.
All right.
Unless they change something. And sometimes the government's always altering formulas for these kinds of calculations. But barring the unforeseen, Tuesday will be tomorrow. We'll be back. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.